Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA. We're going to have a meetup on the 29th of May, 3 p.m. So mark it down on your calendar. We'll get all the stuff done in the next day or two, and we'll see you there 2 weeks from today. But first, let's check out the new commercial from Welch's. And here we go. Let's get it over to the beginning.
I know you're not a fan of my snack choices, but did you really have to get him involved?
Seriously? Fake fruit?
Wait till you see the pantry.
What the fruit-flavored snacks? With so little fruit, it's no wonder they're called fruit-flavored. All the fruits you see here, they're actually in the snacks. Welch's are made with whole fruit as the main ingredient. That's why they're the real deal.
Holy
fruit! Get the one with whole fruit. Get Welch's fruit snacks.
Okay, so Gordon Ramsay is the new spokesperson, and the style consultant says that they're not that good for you. They're mostly sugar. I wouldn't know. I don't eat any of them, but that's what I've been told. So anyway, over to the story about the Welch's. Gordon Ramsay takes helm as Welch's chief fruit officer. I also asked the style consultant how old you thought Gordon was, and he's 57. I thought he looked older than I do. Maybe. And she said, yes, the food service industry is murder. I also found out that he's from Scotland. He's the first Scotsman to have three Michelin stars, and so he knows what he's talking about. I don't know what that was. Something made a beep. I don't know. I got too many things beeping around here. Okay, so we're not going to talk about this too much, but obviously they've made him the chief fruit officer, they call it, and that's the story. Ramsay isn't alone in his quest for fruity justice. The ads also feature a cameo from the company's chief executive, Michael Rosenberg. Okay, I didn't see that. That might be in the other one. There is another one. So they're going to roll it out nationwide. That's enough of that. Okay, my latest survey ended yesterday. After 40 years, the loss of a DM influencer. Yeah, I think it was Kevin, I didn't know him, but Sam Fong mentioned him in a post, and so, you know, it made me think, you know, I hope somebody writes something nice if I disappear. But I also got this note from academia that said, we found 361 other papers that mentioned John Miglosh, and these are refereed journals where I've been cited and footnoted, so I don't know, that seemed like a big deal to me. It's, you know, I only wrote about, I don't know, 5 or 10, I think, that got, you know, in journals. But so I started thinking, well, what am I going to leave behind? What's the biggest contribution that I've made? And I decided to ask you all, what's your biggest legacy? And so people like that. I got a bunch of impressions on it. Looking back on your career, what do you see as your legacy to the world? And that's pretty vague, and so it could be almost anything, right? Academic papers and speeches, 0%. Okay, now, there's a couple of possible explanations, probably more than a couple, but one is that my audience members don't write academic papers. That's really possible. You know, when I was working with Martin Baer and Bob Stone down at UMKC, and I was one of the presenters, and actually the highest rated presenter in the direct marketing certification. You know, the academics weren't my audience, let's just say. And Bob liked my book enough that he said that he told his publisher they should publish it just as is. They declined because they said, we publish textbooks, and you actually basically said that, you know, the academics have no clue, which at the time I think was probably right. But now, of course, this is 25 years later. Obviously, they've caught up, and they've caught up to where we were 25 years ago anyway. But the number one answer was encouragement to industry friends. And I thought that was kind of nice. And then also kids and young people into marketing. So my three of my daughters, all three of my daughters, really went into marketing. My wife does it, advertising. So you could almost say 90%. And then my social media influence, only one person, I think, said that would be 10% on the button, said their social media influence. And I can tell the power of my social media influence by likes and shares. And if anybody's chatting live stream with me right now, it doesn't seem like it, which is fine. You know, I do this partly for fun. And I've gotten now enough out there. I think I'm about 2,000 on YouTube that I'm okay with that. Okay, let's see if the chat's working. So if you want to say hi, you know, get it in now and I'll be watching it. Anyway, we had some nice comments. Corey Funk took issue with my spelling. He said his legacy was proofreading and encouragement, where he spelled it right. I spelled it encourage without the U. You know, you only get 30 characters for these. You only get 140 for that. That's almost exactly 140 characters, and this is exactly 30. See, 30, 30, and 30. It's not easy. So don't correct my spelling. I chopped off a few letters here and there, and you could still understand it. But anyway, I thought that was funny. It's hard to answer, and it's hard to fit answers into 30 questions. I knock out whatever I can, and why is there a U in there anyhow? Right. Sandy Hubbard, this is such a good question. I would say my legacy is helping friends and family aim higher and accomplish things more creatively and strategically. That's such a nice way to bundle together the things I feel I've done in my life and that have made a difference. Isn't that nice? So thank you for that, Sandy. That was great. Anyway, it's something to think about. You know, when you're just starting your career, you're just trying to survive and keep food on the table for your family, you don't think about this too much. But 361 citations seems like a lot. And some are in languages I don't speak, which is kind of cool. Postcard Mania up 17%. They went from 25 million first quarter in last year to 30 million this year. And Joy Genduza just keeps doing her thing. I think the part of the reason that Postcard Mania is always growing is because they have probably the best in the USA, I would say, the best case studies from every industry you can think of, pretty much. I do criticize Joy because they don't almost ever mention a control, test and control. If you don't have a control, then you don't know incremental lift. But it doesn't mean things aren't working just because you don't know what the incremental lift is. But it's always good, and I've offered to help them with that and set up some, you know, work with some of the bigger clients and help them understand testing a little better. And the offer still stands, Joy. If you'd like to do that, that would be great. In a related company, somewhat related, I think Joy helped found Direct Mail 2.0, and Bradley Krieger has been the head of that. But now, and Brad and I talked a little bit about who's mailing what, because Denny Hatch and I go back to the dawn of time practically. In the mid-90s, I would say, Denny and I put together a database conference and was, you know, fairly well attended, but I did get blackballed by the DMA for doing it, I guess. But anyway, that's another story. So who's mailing what is a database of mailings, right? And back in the day, and now Brad Kugler. I don't know if that's right or not. I'll find that out. Anyway, Brad, I'll tack it on. Brad, you can comment. Make sure we get it. Your name spelled right. The Who's Mailing What catalog will be a huge addition, and they're going to do a database that AI will figure out, you know, how to parse out the headlines so you can compare headlines within an industry. What's the offer? You know, does it have a QR code? Some of those kinds of things. And so you can search a whole bunch of them. Well, here it is again. Kugler. Must be Kugler. I just call him Brad. So, Morgan Morgan, who I also know, but better not try, is going to take over as direct mail 2.0. And, you know, I've also offered to help them with their testing. I put together a formal proposal long ago. They add 100 new direct mail pieces to their database every year. I remember when I used to get that many new ones every day. But anyway, it is important. There was a nice quote here. The original founder was Denny Hatch, my friend. And he says, direct mail is the least wasteful, most efficient, most expensive advertising medium. That's partly how come we don't waste it, because it is expensive. So you better know what you're doing, what you're sending out, what is going to work. To be successful in direct marketing, said Dorothy Kerr. Kerr could be. To be successful in direct mail, you have to see who's mailing what. And she did a speech in 1983. She was a direct mail copywriter. She said, you have to see who's mailing what, track those mailings, and keep coming in over and over, which means they're successful controls. See the word controls? This is a word we don't see enough in direct marketing and direct mail articles. And make lots of money, then steal smart. Now, you won't get, I don't think, it never did anyway, in who's mailing what. Maybe Brad can give me a tour when he gets all settled over there. But I don't think that you do see the test versus control, which is something that would be helpful. This is a mailing that I keep getting, and if you look at the way, see, it's got spot varnish. It's really nice. I mean, it gets your attention because that those zebra stripes kind of move around. Can you see that? And I got one about a month ago that didn't have the stripes, and I figured, well, either they're testing getting rid of the stripes, or they are, it says Express in there, in the spot varnish. It's fairly dramatic in the real world here. But I figured, well, either they're testing without it, or they'd already tested and dumped it. But actually, here it is again, came this week. See the Express? You can just barely see the Express part. Okay, and it's cool, and they keep mailing it. So it's probably in who's mailing what. It's from American Express. I do have an account there somewhere, and they want me to have a business platinum card, which I probably should do, but I don't. Anyway, so whoever's mailing what, and they keep mailing it, you know that it's got some legs, right? So that's pretty important. And on a similar note, let's get over here. Here's Craig Huey's Testing Corner, which, unlike everybody I've talked about so far, almost always has a test and control. And so in this one, he's asking about a Magalog cover test that he did. And here are the two headlines. If you are sick and do not use phytonutrient medicine, your life will be cut short by 10 years. And then the other cover is, you can be personally helped, even cured, from the ravages of heart and blood vessel disease. Okay. Now, it turns out, you can have, take a do, 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 do. Now I'm going to get blocked on YouTube for singing that song. So, Craig, it turns out that cover A did 61% higher. Now, here's where it gets a little sticky. Craig then says it achieved this because it used a specific number, 10 years. Are you sure? The way to test that would be to do this headline and then do the same headline with the by 10 years cut out. And if you really wanted to know, because I think the reason it did better was the phytonutrient medicine. If you're sick, your life will be cut short. Unless you use this medicine or do not use phytonutrient medicine. I would not have written it that way, but, you know, if you're sick, your life will be cut short. Anyway, there's a way to rewrite this and test getting rid of the 10 years and also test getting rid of the phytonutrient, this medicine or this little known medicine. There's a lot of ways you could write that. And see if it's the 10 years or it's the phytonutrient. See, you can't really tell that difference, right? And that's part of the nuance of testing. So this down here, it achieved this because it used a specific number of 10 years. Okay, the observation is it did 61% better. The hypothesis is it achieved it because it used a specific number. And, you know, Craig got enough experience, probably he's right. Okay, I'm not gonna say he's wrong. I don't know if he's right or wrong, and maybe he doesn't either. But what I am gonna say is that that's a hypothesis. And the way to find that out is to write a very, very similar letter with the by 10 years in and the by 10 years out. And then you know that it's the number specificity, but I think it's the phytonutrient medicine specificity, and I do take phytonutrient medicines. They were laughed at not long ago. So anyway, but I appreciate Craig because he does have a control and he does know what he's talking about. Have a great day. Like and share. And join the WDMA if you'd like some of this consulting that I'm offering to Joy and Brad and others, and did for Denny. You know, just join the WDMA. It's cheaper than a half hour of my time. So have a join, support what we do, and have a great day. Bye-bye.